Man, number five, God is love. Mary Baker Eddy used the King James Version of the Bible as her reference for biblical verses in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. However, her study only began with the King James Version, as she studied all versions available and, of course, had her own language skills in translating the biblical verses from their original language. We must keep in mind that she said that true Christian scientists should be Bible scholars. She either did her own translation or was able to find translations of other languages besides the original language in which the Bible was written. For example, in Icelandic, she uses a reference in Science and Health of that translation on some particular words. We have found at the Institute that the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament is an invaluable translation. He was a very serious student of the Bible. And also Noah Webster uses Bible verses throughout his wonderful dictionary of 1828. Mary Baker Eddy used that dictionary as her dictionary, the standard for Science and Health. To begin, I will use the King James Version and then look at the J.B. Phillips and what Mary Baker Eddy says about the primary topic of this recording, which is God is love. And that will be from Science and Health, the first chapter on prayer. Since the main topic is man, I will look for the qualities of God from all seven of the terms for God, and also how this all fits together with the four operators. On page 146, in chapter 6, entitled Science, Theology, and Medicine, under the section which is Science, she states the following about divine metaphysics. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, I believe we should think of disease as being anything that is a dis-ease, in other words, anything that is ungodlike, anything that lacks the harmony and balance of divine principle, or also the system and structure, which is a part of the key features of divine principle. J.B. Phillips has the title of Knowing Christ Means More Love and Confidence, Less and Less Fear. And that is a title for the 1 John chapter 4, covering verses 14 through 21. And of course, the most familiar verse in that is verse 16. I will first of all read from the King James Version. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The article that is entitled Love Your Enemies by Mary Baker Eddy is in a very key spot in Miscellaneous Writings, beginning on page 8. Now, Mary Baker Eddy also begins Christian Science Practice with the story of Mary Magdalene. And, of course, that's a story about love and forgiveness. Mary Baker Eddy putting these topics at the beginning of very key parts of her writings is telling us that love is one of the most important things that we should cultivate as qualities of reflecting God. It is like it is the foundation of the study of Christian Science. As a matter of fact, two of the very important features of love are defined as plan and design. So if we think about our entire life should be based on a plan and design with the foundation of love, and also Jesus is known for love above everything else in terms of positive qualities, and of course his focus on negative was to condemn anything that was an ungodlike quality. And Mary Baker Eddy says some very interesting things about this, which I will read after I read the J.B. Phillips translation of these same verses of 14 through 21. From 1 John chapter 4. To repeat the title for these verses, 14 through 21, from J.B. Phillips is Knowing Christ Means More Love and Confidence, Less and Less Fear. We ourselves are eyewitnesses, able and willing to testify to the fact that the Father did send the Son to save the world. Everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God lives in him and he lives in God. So we have come to know and trust the love God has for us. God is love, and the man whose life is lived in love does in fact live in God, and God does in fact live in him. So our love for him grows more and more, filling us with complete confidence for the day when he shall judge all men. For we realize that our life in this world is actually his life lived in us. Love contains no fear. Indeed, fully developed love expels every particle of fear. For fear always contains some of the torture of feeling guilty. This means that the man who lives in fear has not yet had his love perfected. Yes, we love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if he does not love the brother before his eyes, how can he love the one beyond his sight? And in any case, it is his explicit command that the one who loves God must love his brother too. And as noted, verse 16 is tucked right in the middle, which is simply three words: God is love. That is a quote that is usually on the wall of churches. That is Christian Science churches. This is what Mary Baker Eddy says about those three words, God is love. The paragraph title of the first paragraph is Mercy Without Partiality. And of course, we know before we even start reading this that it is emphatically stressed by Mary Baker Eddy that all of God's qualities are impersonal. In other words, we should be expressing them without even thinking of a person. We should simply be expressing them or reflecting them because God is defined as the qualities. So if we want to learn more about God, we must be reflecting the qualities that represent God. God is love. More than this, we cannot ask. Higher, we cannot look. Farther, we cannot go. To suppose that God forgives or punishes sin according as his mercy is sought or unsought is to misunderstand love and to make prayer the safety valve for wrongdoing. The title to the next paragraph is Divine Severity. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. Of a sick woman, he said that Satan had bound her, and to Peter he said, Thou art an offense unto me. He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. He said of the fruitless tree, It is hewn down. It is believed by many that a certain magistrate who lived in the time of Jesus left this record. His rebuke is fearful. The strong language of our master confirms this description. The only civil sentence which he had for error was, Get thee behind me, Satan. Still stronger evidence that Jesus' reproof was pointed and pungent is found in his own words, showing the necessity for such forcible utterance when he cast out devils and healed the sick and sinning. The relinquishment of error deprives material sense of its false claims. As noted before, the system of divine metaphysics referred to by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146 of Science and Health includes the seven synonymous terms for God, four operators, and four levels. And just a quick phrase on each of those, the seven terms for God are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And a short phrase on each one would be as follows. Mind is the source of everything needed because it is mental. In other words, the entire existence of reality is mental. They are ideas of God. And as a little bit of background to support that, around 1900, the physicist of the world discovered quantum physics. And quantum physics was their first discovery that really said that matter is unreal and that what we think is matter, that we touch, feel, taste, smell, and so forth, that is really the consciousness of the individuals. And if one would analyze what appears to be matter, they would find that it was really energy that was rotating at high rate of speed. Mr. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners of all time of Christian Science, defined it as a field of electromagnetism. Another name for it is ether. And as is just noted, quantum physics defines it as being energy in vibration or rotation. The second quality of God is spirit. And that, in a phrase, means the only substance, and it is flawless. Because it's flawless, it's transparent. Because it's flawless and transparent, it is reflective. The third quality is soul, and in a few words, it means the spiritual viewpoint of all existence. In other words, we're talking about seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, all from a spiritual viewpoint. The fourth one is principle, and as already noted, that means system and structure, which is always in balance, and of course, it's always harmonious. The fifth one is life, and that means living the qualities of God and multiplying by reflection. In other words, we multiply our ideas by reflecting them out into the universe of thought. The sixth one is truth, and that means staying on track without deviation. And the seventh is love. And that means, as we think of as a mother, nurturing. So it's nurturing all the qualities to bring understanding to recognize wholeness. Now, love is also, as noted, the plan and design of everything. So if we think about love in coordination with principle and mind, then we think about the plan and design always being a foundation of love, and the principle is the system and structure. So that means the principle has to be based on a foundation of love, because this plan and design of everything is love. And therefore, when we think about mind, mind is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. That means we must be thinking about love when we are thinking about intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. So it has to be a loving thought. It has to be a loving intelligence, a loving knowing, and a loving wisdom. Einstein acknowledged that there was a power that was beyond anything that could be explained by physics. And that's one of the reasons why, when he saw that his friend Dr. Underwood was healed of radiation from being on the Atomic Energy Commission, and that he was the only one that survived the radiation as a result of their activities in trying to develop the atom bomb, Einstein got extremely interested in Christian Science and the discovery of everything that Mary Baker Eddy had to talk about. And we have some quotations on our website from Dr. Einstein, who became a very serious student of Christian Science and made some very emphatic statements. One of them was, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. And I believe he was probably referring to either when she had the healing from her fall, which was in 1866, or when she published her first edition of Science and Health in 1875. But he had tremendous respect for her, and as a result, he also said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. And he capitalized the word thou, and he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy, and the book he was referring to is the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. So here, he and his peers had been studying about physics, and of course in 1900, as mentioned, they came up with the theory of quantum mechanics or quantum physics. It's all the same thing, just two different names for the same discovery. And yet, Mary Baker Eddy not only had discovered it, but she had written a book on it a good 25 years before the world of physics realized what was happening. An excellent article that one should read is The Psychologist and the Magician. And I won't say anything about it because it is on the website. And just look under the author of Rodwick. And the introduction is by Herbert Eustace, who was a very fine practitioner and early student of Mary Baker Eddy. But in essence, it is a travel through a dark cave where everything was manipulated by a hypnotist. And as you read it, you will realize the various forms of animal magnetism that were presented and how the individual that was taking the journey was able to overcome the various forms of animal magnetism presented, except for one. And that is the one we have to watch out for. So if you read it, you will find out what I'm talking about, and I think you will learn from it immensely. Okay, moving to the four operators, they are termed the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And the Word is the facts about God. The Christ is translating what comes our way to its spiritual nature. The third is Christianity, which means using the understanding to demonstrate the two items already mentioned, the Word and the Christ, so that they can be accurately understood and to bring about the healing. And the fourth is science, and this can mean two different things. One is Christian science, which is the lowest level of science because it is on a relative basis. And it starts at depravity, which is the lowest level of our individual experience. And the purpose of Christian science, of course, is to prove the understanding of reality as a result of the Word, Christ, and Christianity mentioned above. The highest level of science is divine science, and that is speaking in the absolute about God. Now, one can easily see that this lines up a lot with mathematics, because mathematics has its 10 digits, 0 through 9, and its four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Music also has its individual elements and its operators. Every major topic that one can think of is based on a system. And that system enables the results to be consistent no matter who is involved in the development of that particular topic. When someone tries to learn about Christian science and they ignore the system, they are not really seeing the big picture. How would you like to be dealing with mathematics and not know that there are the mathematical tables? One time you add up 2 plus 3 and come up with 3, and another time you come up with 7, and then maybe eventually you realize that it's 5. Well, the same with divine metaphysics, the same with music. Music, you're going to end up with discord, not anything other than noise. And the same with divine metaphysics. You're probably going to fail to have the healing because it is not based on system and structure. When Mary Baker Eddy had 2,000 guests at her home on a July 4th, there in Concord, New Hampshire, she looked out on the crowd, and of course she was so sensitive to everyone's individual internal character that she could really make some very vivid statements. And she told her assistant, who was Laura Sargent, she says, "I look out on all these people and I don't see a single Christian Scientist." She also made the statement at another time that she felt like the healings in Christian Science in her day were faith healings because they didn't understand really what Christian Science was about. They didn't understand the divine principle that was involved. And of course, they didn't know anything about what they were reading when she said that divine metaphysics is a system. She says it's reduced to a system. There was one person that understood what she was talking about, and he wanted to write an article on it, and she says, no. She said, the people are not ready for it. And then she said, it'll take another 50 years before they understand even the beginning of what I'm talking about. And sure enough, it was about 50 years before there was any breakthrough in thought on what she was talking about. And the most advanced in that area was Rolf Witzke, which was about another 30 years after that, where he took it to an entirely new level. We have all of this on our website, which is mbeinstitute.org. Mary Baker Eddy also makes another statement that is related to this, everything we're talking about here, and she says, infinite progression is concrete being, which finite mortals see and comprehend only as abstract glory. As mortal mind, or the material sense of life, is put off, the spiritual sense and science of being is brought to light. When we think about God, it is very important to understand what she says about the word good. Because today, many people think God is both good and evil. Insurance companies, they want to get out of paying a claim because they will say some catastrophe was an act of God. But what does Mary Baker Eddy say? She says that good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. That's from page 587. And how about our seeing and hearing and so forth? She says God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. That's also on page 587 in the glossary. And what does Genesis 1 tell us? Well, Genesis 1 tells us we can't even get started until we open our thought. There are 7 key things in the record of creation that is in Genesis chapter 1 through the 3rd verse of chapter 2. And every single one of those 7 key things that are discussed in that most important record of creation begins with the words, "Let us." And who is us? Mary Baker Eddy describes that in chapter 14, creation, where she says, us means the plural of the male and female qualities and neuter qualities combined as one term, which is defined as M-A-N, man. So man doesn't mean a male, it doesn't mean a female, and it doesn't mean neuter. Man means all three together. So if we really want to be reflecting God, we must be reflecting as a man, we must be reflecting strength and courage. As a woman, we must be reflecting the tenderness and kindness, thoughtfulness and nurturing of a woman. And we must also express everything in a neutral basis where it is impersonal. So if we want to really be reflecting God, we can't just be out there like some brute animal that is trying to survive. We have to have the love, kindness, tenderness, and so forth of a woman. So if we want to be complete, we have to be expressing the qualities of the male, female, and the impersonal nature of what man really represents. So, what is man? We've got to be thinking about love as a key feature. Jesus was probably the most powerful man ever on planet Earth. Why? Because he had mastered the concept of love. The guard that was there to arrest him, Peter cut his ear off. Jesus immediately healed him. He said, "Put up thy sword." The sword is used for one thing, and that is to divide matter and spirit. We refute the matter, we refute the mortal mind, and we affirm and live the spirit. We have to make sure that anything that we're involved in is not being suggested to us by mortal mind. Mr. Winslow, another very, very fine, one of the best practitioners in the history of Christian Science, he wrote 4 books, and they are on the different aspects of God. It says, let God do it. It's like we talked about Genesis chapter 1. And he says, God can do it, God will do it, and God is doing it. We must always be thinking about the 3 introductory quotes to the entire textbook. No matter what we're reading in Science and Health, we should be very aware of this, and it should be overlaid on all of our thinking. The first one is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that is a quotation by Jesus, as quoted by John in chapter 8. The next one is by Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Mr. Rawson, one of the individuals just noted about being such a great practitioner, he very much emphasized how important it is of what kind of thoughts we are entertaining, because our entire experience depends on what we are thinking. And of course, Shakespeare, anyone that is educated knows who he is, and he makes it very clear, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Our thinking brings our experience. And the last one is by Mary Baker Eddy, and she says, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. And those are all capital T's, meaning God. So if we know the truth, and if we control our thoughts by having a perfect model there to follow and look at and strive to follow every moment, then we will have the blessing. The same thing that Mr. Winslow was saying when he says, let God do it. God can do it. God will do it. And God is doing it. Another one that is very, very highly recommended is a Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He wrote a book about 10 Bible lessons. I searched for probably 20 years trying to find a good Bible course. I bought some. I studied them. Some of them were several hundred dollars. And I haven't found anything that comes close to what Dr. Putnam gave us. And it's free on our website at this time. It's in 10 Bible lessons, and it covers everything you need to know about the Bible. It has hundreds and I don't know how many, but a large number of references that are quotations from the Bible. Everything is based on the Bible in the 10 Bible lessons. And he has one chapter on Jesus, and he has one chapter on Mary Baker Eddy. But basically, all of the references in the first 8 chapters are directly from the Bible. And then, of course, Jesus is from the Bible, and Mary Baker Eddy, those two have references from Science and Health. And maybe some other writings of Mary Baker Eddy. I don't recall offhand. So is the phrase in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 important about God is love? Remember, Mary Baker Eddy starts Christian Science practice. Her very first text in that chapter in Science and Health is on Mary Magdalene, which is love and forgiveness. Remember what she says in Miscellaneous Writings starting on page 8 about love your enemies. She says, who is an enemy except who we are thinking is an enemy? Who we are thinking, not who anyone else is. The person we might think is an enemy may not even have any concept that we're thinking of them as an enemy. Who knows? The point is, our thought is what must be controlled. Our thought has everything that we need available to it. Are we going to tap into it? One of the most popular pictures of Jesus is him knocking on a door. And that's been interpreted to mean that he is knocking on the door of consciousness. Are we going to open it? Are we going to let those Christly thoughts in our consciousness? Or are we going to filter them out and listen to the telephone? Like Mr. Winslow says, he says, think of yourself being in a room and there's a phone that's ringing its head off, and there's also a radio that is announcing only the things about the kingdom of God. It's tuned in to station KOG. He said, what are you going to do? Are you going to let the salesman in the door by picking up the phone and argue with him? Or let him totally control your thought and you buy something you don't need or want? Or are you going to be listening only to the qualities of God being announced directly from the qualities of God? They're omnipresent. Are we going to take advantage of them? That's the key. By the way, if you want to really get a better understanding of the seven synonymous terms, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright, along with her husband, but Helen Wright wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. And of all the content, 7 of the chapters in there are on each of the 7 synonymous terms. And I have never seen any other book written by any author that so clearly explains what those terms mean of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. She is a genius in her writing and understanding how to connect the dots. And she's very humorous. She throws in jokes. You will really enjoy reading it, and you will learn immensely. Doesn't matter what your level of understanding is, I am sure you will gain something from there and will appreciate it. As Mr. Rawson said, when he healed a man instantaneously that had a load of rocks dumped on him, there is nothing but God. He jumped out from underneath the rocks, healed instantaneously, not a scratch. Whenever we do a treatment, we must remember that we must protect it. We must state something to this effect, in your own words, of course. In fact, everything that is brought to your attention through these treatments or through any book you read are only trying to stir your thought for you to be your own practitioner, for you to be able to learn how to internalize and put in your own words the key ideas that these people that have experienced wonderful healings over the years, and they've done just fantastic research and had great discoveries that they're sharing, but you have to do it yourself. You have to make it your own. I remember I met someone one time that I thought he was the holy grail of how to do analysis on the topic that I was working on. And a longtime friend and very experienced and successful practitioner said, "Don't accept it as is. You have to do your own analysis of it and make sure that it represents truth, and you have to make it your own. You don't just accept something and then try to duplicate it or clone it. You have to make it your own." And that's what we all have to do with divine metaphysics. We have to make it our own. We have to tear apart what we're reading and analyze it and see how it connects with everything else. Another one I highly recommend is John Morgan. And we have a brand new page, which is called the Themes of the Chapters of Science and Health. And that is of invaluable service to be able to understand what the theme is of a chapter before we even read the first word out of that chapter, because that gives us the overview that is so important. So here's what we have to do to seal a treatment. Words similar now, you got to make up your own. Internalize it and make it your own. But basically, we have to know that there is no diversion, dilution, distraction, interference of any kind that can prevent the power of truth in this treatment being effective. Because there is no other power except God. God is the only intelligence, the only wisdom, the only knowing, the only action, the only creative ability, the only performance, and therefore the only power. Spirit is the only substance, and it is pure. And the purity of the truth in this treatment is effective. It can't be stopped, and it can't be reversed. This treatment is sealed, can't be interfered with. And yes, not only is God all in all source and all manifestation, but God is all there is. There is nothing but God. Amen.